Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And yes, it is spouting off, and you are listening to Karen Cataline live on BBS Radio Station 1. I've been gone for a couple of weeks, and you've heard best of episodes. I could not come back at a more opportune time. I've missed you all, and I've been doing a lot of radio around the country and among other things, but oh my goodness, there is news going on. Good afternoon in the lower 48 and anywhere else that you're listening live. I've had a lot of guests, at least just one guest per show in the past, I don't know how many moons. And because I've been away for a while, I decided to just do the whole show myself. Well, I do the show myself every week. But I have so much to spout off about that I decided not to have any guests this hour and this episode. It's September 18th, 2018, if you are listening live. And if not, you never know where this show might go. So it's just you and me this afternoon. And so I've got plenty of time to take your phone calls, and I'll let you know what we're going to talk about. Oh, my goodness. The news is amazing. One thing after another just knocks the last thing off the front page. And as you can imagine, I have opinions on practically everything. So if you'd like to join in on the conversation, now is a good time. I'm going to spout off a little bit, but boy, oh, boy, if you've got something on your mind, something you want to spout off about, it is a wonderful opportunity between now and the top of the hour to give me a call. You can call at toll-free 888-627-6008, or you can call direct because, you know, nowadays it's all toll-free, 323-744-4831. If you're listening on the listen-only line, welcome, welcome to the program. You might just think of something that you want to talk about. So I love callers, and we don't always get a chance to take your call, but this time we can. So the last 9 days has been what we call in the Jewish calendar the 10 days of awe. I mean, including tonight and tomorrow, the 10 days of awe conclude with the holiest and most serious day of the year in the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur. Some people call it Yom Kippur. I call it Yom Kippur. Whatever. It's Hebrew. What are we going to do? It's a very important holiday, and there have been thousands of years of analysis and commentary about what it all means. But basically, Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year, and it is seen as the day that man was born, the day God breathed life into Adam, if you believe that literally or figuratively, and we're not going to get into it. It's the birthday of man, and that means mankind, not just man and women. And that's part of what we're going to be talking about today, this contentious and constant desire to separate men and women into corners in a wrestling match, women being the victims, men being the perpetrators, and all for political purposes. But getting back to Yom Kippur, calm, collected. The point of Yom Kippur, and we like to joke that unlike the Catholics who do a lot of confession throughout the year, Yom Kippur is the day where we condense it all into about 25 hours, and we do it from sundown, and that would be tonight, Tuesday, September 18th, to sundown probably an hour after on September 19th. And it is a day of fasting, and it's a day of reflection, is a day of repentance and looking at where you want to be in the next year, asking God for another year of life. And the question is, what do you intend to do about it? What do you intend to do with it? But there's a lot of holding oneself accountable for people we have wronged, for people that we've harmed, either advertently or inadvertently. When I was a kid, I used to, anybody who went to Hebrew school for any length of time, we were pretty afraid, I guess you could say, of Yom Kippur, because it was such a, and it is, a solemn, serious holiday, that the thought was to be fearful, you know. And as I've gotten older, and of course I'm not a, excuse me, a strongly observant Jew, I've come to appreciate the joy of having something higher than man to be accountable to. So I find it in many ways to be a joyous holiday, because the last thing I would want to be is ultimately accountable to other men. Case in point, the kind of corruption that is getting exposed during the presidency, the joyous and amazing presidency of Donald J. Trump. So here's my question. I was thinking about this a lot, and I was thinking, so on this day of accountability, on accepting the consequences and even being grateful for consequences of our behavior. And the universe, as you know, meets out consequences, at least most of the time, for our behavior, whether we want them or not. Well, when we turn our eye to politics, and I see this unbelievable pattern of lack of accountability, at least so far, I find it no coincidence that I'm looking at these things on Yom Kippur. Yes, personally, we have to do that personally, but let's just turn our eye to politics for a minute, because that's a lot of what we do here. So we're looking at numerous examples of the most ugly, the most unaccountable behavior one could imagine. And it's right before our very eyes, hiding in plain sight. Although those that are watching, it's not hiding at all. So we have cases where people are framing others, the left is framing others for what they do and have never been held accountable for. They could use a little Yom Kippur, couldn't they? So there are false accusations being racked up one by one by one, from Nikki Haley being accused of buying curtains that the Obama White House actually bought, people like David Hogg, that 17-year-old whippersnapper, I wonder when he's going to turn 18, who basically is a parrot for all hard left ideologies, no matter what it is, he's there telling people to register to vote and vote the way he wants them to. Never occurs to them that maybe they ought to be allowed to think for themselves. We have potentially false accusations of attempted rape by the current Trump nominee. And we're going to get into that, of course. That's one of the hottest stories happening right now. And I have been writing extensively on this subject. In fact, I feel a little like Paulette Revere, as I've been warning about the Me Too movement, warning about the excesses of the Me Too movement, and how it's really just another way to build another victim block, voting victim group voting block for the left, and that is women. Women who have two X chromosomes, those are the people that are suddenly the new victims in the victimhood parade. So we'll be talking about that. Unbelievable news week in which Donald Trump has finally, and we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, for him to declassify documents that will prove a stunning amount of collusion and corruption on the part of the FBI, the CIA, and the Obama White House, false accusations, lying to get a FISA warrant in order to spy on their political opponents, false accusations of Trump being an authoritarian. This is yet another thing. False accusations of being Trump being an authoritarian, a racist, mentally ill, as many conflicting ideas as possible. They've thrown everything but the kitchen sink, and they're still throwing. Here's my question. When is there going to be some consequences for false accusations? Now, in the case of Judge Kavanaugh, we're right smack dab in the middle of it. We don't know how it's going to end, and I'm going to talk about that at some length in just a minute. But in the case of a couple of these other examples that I've given you, if you were in your personal life, and I've said this before, if you were in your personal life, most people, it is important to be discriminating about the people we do business with, the people we make friends with, the people that we ask to watch our children, the people that we do business with and ask to watch our money. We do business and we make discriminating observations and judgments every day. When someone lies to us, do we continue to believe them again and again and again? Do we believe the accusations that they make? Or do we say, you know what? These people have a history of lying, of prevaricating, of politicizing, weaponizing everything for their own political gain. And yet we continue to do it. Now, we don't have many choices, and that's the hard part. We have a history of looking to the media in this country, and that is probably the A number one entity that I'm talking about, along with the attempted control of the legacy media that wants to tell us what to think and has long ago stopped reporting the news. I got a little bug in my throat, so please bear with me. So I'm looking to Yom Kippur and hoping that there are going to be some consequences. And of all the times that in this particular case, women have made false accusations to men, we don't know yet whether this particular one will fall into that category. What is so sad is that so much more damage is done to the accused, the falsely accused victim, than is ever done to the false accuser. And even after we have found that the person has been lying and smearing, it's a despicable thing to do, to make up lies about someone so that you can destroy their lives. And as we will see in a minute, the Me Too movement has done an extraordinary and unfortunately successful job of destroying a great many lives in the last year. Even if some of those men were guilty and much of the due process has been dispensed with, we don't really know. And does that mean that the person deserves to be destroyed for life? It's kind of ironic that the left has always been the one to be, shall we say, liberal about crime and always willing to give people a second chance. But now we've figured out, and hopefully you have too, that giving a second chance only applies to people that share your political point of view. You don't give a first chance. What kind of chance was Donald Trump ever given? Ever. He was never given, forget a honeymoon. He was never given any chance whatsoever. And I point always to Maxine Waters, who called for his impeachment before he spent a day in office. And she doesn't seem to think there's anything wrong with that. She doesn't seem to think that maybe she ought to respect the duly elected president and the people who have spoken and sent Trump to Washington for a purpose. No, she wants to impeach him before he's done anything wrong. And too ignorant, too low IQ, to use Donald Trump's frame of reference, to realize that to impeach someone, you have to actually have a crime, a high crime or misdemeanor. So she expects us to think that she's credible now as she calls for possible violence towards anyone who dares to support and vote and like Donald Trump. These people have lost their minds. But let's get to Judge Kavanaugh, because there's so much, so much to talk about. The reason I feel like Paulette Revere is because I've been warning about this since back in June and July, when it was amazingly clear to me that the left was dispensing with all protocol and all due process in order to remake state legislatures all around this country without the benefit of that pesky little thing called winning an election. This was so abhorrent to me, so appalling to me, that I wanted to investigate what was going on. Never mind that there was an amazingly endemic case right here in Colorado. As some of you know, I reside both in northern Colorado and in Wyoming. And in Colorado, there was the case of Steve Lubsock. Steve Lubsock was a Democrat state representative who was accused early on of sexual harassment, along with a whole lot of other people in this last year. In fact, according to Ballotpedia, and you can find some of my writings on my website at www.karencataline.com. I've got my blog, I've got op-eds, all kinds of things. But according to Ballotpedia, 30 states, that's 30 states, have reported one or more sexual misconduct allegations since October 2017. Why is that significant, October 2017? It's not just that the sessions were beginning to start back then. No, it didn't matter whether the sessions started. We are coming up on the one-year anniversary of the Harvey Weinstein case that broke in the New York Times October 5th, 2017. Not long after, we had the Me Too movement. I won't give you the history because a lot of people know it. But since that time, in 1 year, there has never been a report like the one I'm about to read to you from. 67 male lawmakers have been accused. Now, does that mean I think all of them are innocent? Who knows? Due process was never, ever done in most of these cases. Of those 67, 32 have resigned, were expelled, and very few were expelled. One of them, Steve Lubsock, the other, Don Shooter in Arizona, or did not seek reelection. Now, you may remember that Norm MacDonald, who was canceled off The Tonight Show for daring to talk about the Me Too movement in less than stellar terms, said that one day someone's going to commit suicide because they've been falsely accused. Well, we don't know if they were falsely accused, but there have already been two related suicides to the Me Too movement. Republican State Representative Brandon Hickson of Idaho in October of 2017, and Democratic State Representative Dan Johnson of Kentucky in December 2017. Whether these men were guilty as charged, and I don't know if there even were charges, or whether they were completely innocent, we will never know because they committed suicide. Now, in any other situation, the left would be hysterical that it would be somebody's fault that they committed suicide. Now, it's ultimately their fault. However, should the crime be death for sexual harassment? Evidently, the Me Too movement thinks so. So most of the men were forced out of office, and they were pressured to resign. Now, I saw a crazy motive in all of this. I couldn't understand. Let me tell you one or two quick things about the case of Steve Lebsack, because it is significant. Steve Lebsack claims, and this is an alleged claim, he was talking to me on my show when I filled in on AM Talk Radio, 600 KCOL. He finally revealed 5 months after his expulsion, which hadn't happened, by the way, in 103 years. That's 103 years. Right. But in this year, we've had more than two, and they were within a month of each other, and both based on sexual harassment. Are you beginning to see a pattern here? I am. And there are more patterns. I encourage you to read some of my pieces in American Thinker and in Western Journal, which one just came out, called Is the Left Using Me Too to Overhaul State Governments and Mobilize Women? My answer is, yeah, they are. And with this Kavanaugh case, it's more obvious than ever before. I think they've been priming the pump in that regard for a long time. And I think there's some good news, too, in a sad sort of way, which is they always, always overplay their hand until a whole lot of people who aren't particularly politically involved start to see how preposterous they are. The only ones who don't know that is them. So getting back to Steve Lebsack, Steve Lebsack alleged 5 months after his expulsion that Colorado U.S. Senator Ed Perlmutter called him 48 hours after the allegations became public way back in November. Again, a month, less than a month after the Harvey Weinstein thing, and right at the time of the Me Too movement, that he tried to pressure Steve Lebsack to resign his post. He also threatened him and said, if you don't resign, there are women's groups lining up against you. Well, Steve Lebsack had the good sense to ask the congressman, well, how do you know? He also told the congressman, I didn't do anything. Why should I resign? To which the congressman allegedly replied, we'll make sure you get a job and all so you can land easy. And I paraphrase. So he was hell-bent on getting Steve Lebsack to resign and not fight the charges. The head of the Democrat Party, the state party in Colorado, also called Steve Lebsack and told him that he was a smart man. Don't retaliate, she said to him. That has gotten covered up in the charges of Ed Perlmutter, also involving himself. I mean, this is at the very least unethical, at the very most probably illegal. I don't know. I'm not an attorney. But the head of the Democrat Party told her own state representative of her own party, you're a smart guy, Steve. Don't retaliate. Well, Steve was a gutsy guy. And number one, he'd gone off the reservation a long time ago because there was a sweeping gun bill that was so important to the Obama administration that Joe Biden started calling people. This was in 2013. It was a magazine ban that was unbelievably sweeping. And because the Democrats held both houses in the legislature and the governor's mansion. So they could do pretty much anything they wanted. And they called to pressure every single Democrat. Michael Bloomberg and his people, as well as Joe Biden, started calling people to let them know that they needed their vote on this gun bill. Well, it was Steve Lebsack who had a mind of his own and refused to vote for that bill. He, being a former Marine and believing in the Second Amendment and law-abiding citizens' rights to defend themselves. Go figure! Cut to the day of the vote, in which Steve Lebsack, unfortunately, and I really do think so, was expelled from the Colorado House of Representatives on March 2nd, 2018. It was a travesty, and a lot of it was put on YouTube, in which one legislator, I'll never forget this, got up to the podium and said, I'm going to vote yes. He was a Democrat. He said, I'm going to vote yes on this move to expel our House, our duly elected representative, because my wife was sexually molested when she was 17. Never mind, she wasn't molested by Steve Lebsack. And yet in this day-long, grueling, emotional mess of a day, Steve Lebsack was vilified. And when he knew that the votes were not going to be there, it seemed like he was going to prevail. And he thought he would too. But about a half an hour before it became clear that there were indeed the votes to expel him, 16 gutless Republicans voted with the Democrats, gutless, because it was quite clear that the Democrats planned to go after them next, and they did. Steve Lebsack decided to change his voter registration, which was a gutsy thing to do. He changed it to Republican, and he said later that the reason for that was so the voters that he represented, who were now being deprived of his leadership, even though they sent him to the legislature to be their representative, that they would at least have a vote. He did it so that the Democrats wouldn't be able to simply appoint their representative. And that's how it is in Colorado. You can, the party can appoint. So it gave the Republicans another seat, but frankly, they didn't deserve it after how they behaved either. My point being that this Me Too movement is designed as nothing more than a political battering ram to go after, well, really, to go after straight men. That's what's been going on here. Because if they can set a precedent that all you have to do is make an accusation, and this current accuser of Judge Kavanaugh, her attorney came forward today, September 18th, and said, we don't have to prove these allegations. It's up to the FBI. Well, we know how totally honest the FBI is. They're being run by a bunch of partisan Trump haters and part of the swamp. So since when can you make an accusation of someone, but you don't have to prove your allegations? At that rate, I can get rid of any man that stands in my way, claim that they sexually harassed me or they looked at me funny or whatever I want to say, and no man will ever be able to run for office again. Oh, what a time we are living in. I just want to finish this up and then we're going to take a break and move on to a couple of other issues. If we do not stand up and put our foot down about the corruption, the political bare-knuckle politics that's going on today, and say absolutely not, not just no, but hell no, we will not get rid of a stellar nominee in Judge Brett Kavanaugh. If we knuckle under then basically we're enabling the ugliest, worst, most awful behavior. It is up to conservative women in particular to stand up against the Me Too movement. And if you've listened to this program at any length, you know that I think it is conservative women who will lead the way. Read my last blog post of just today. It was just posted today. That it is up to conservative women, conservatives in general, to be the adults in the room on the Me Too movement. We must stand up and fight back, because we can't afford to wait for the natural consequences of their behavior to come to fore. We have to stand up and make sure there are consequences for the broad brush bandwagon that paints all men as perpetrators, all women as victims, and never ever looks at people as individuals and throws due process out with yesterday's trash. Now, I have pushed the We Aren't Victims hashtag, and I hope that you will use it. Tell your story with the We Aren't Victims. That's just We Aren't Victims without the apostrophe. It is very important that we use social media to the extent that we can, until the left shuts that down too, that we talk about some of the flaws in the Me Too movement. Now, I have nothing as a formerly practicing social worker. I have nothing against women speaking up and standing up against true crimes. We believe, and I've said this a lot, we believe that rape and sexual assault are very serious crimes. But they're trivialized when we lump them all together with an awkward proposition or a boorish comment. Plus, we're bullying every straight man in America that no longer can he tell a woman she looks nice in a skirt. No longer can he possibly meet his wife-to-be at work, because women are playing, have all the cards today. And very frankly, the left poisons everything it touches. One of the things we don't talk about enough is that for political purposes, the left is trying to micromanage personal relationships. Anytime you make a large collectivist broad brush determination and you try to get other people to jump on that bandwagon, you have taken leave of your senses, and you've taken leave of the ability to look individually at each and every case. So the left is poisoning personal relationships with their broad prognostications about how men are toxic masculinity. And it stuns me that more people, Republicans, do not see the strategy going on here. Men more often vote Republican. Women in general, even though there are wonderful examples like yours truly, vote Democrat. Women are more often and more likely to vote against the Second Amendment. So they keep bringing guns into the issue when it doesn't seem to belong. Now, thankfully, a lot of women are getting tough, and many are wanting to exercise their right, their Second Amendment rights. But a lot of times women are encouraged to just look to the government to protect them. Why should they protect themselves when they have the benevolent government? You remember the story of Julia, where she's taken care of from cradle to grave by the government. Nothing could be further from the truth, but it works great as a political lie. And so with Julia, the left wants to turn women into the next voting block and victim group. Straight men, on the other hand, represent, and I've said this a lot, I will say it again, they, at their very best, sound a lot like capitalism. They're the ones that teach kids, usually, about competition, about getting up when you've fallen down, about resilience, about learning from your mistakes, about protecting your family, providing for your family. Now, does that mean in any way that women don't do those things? Heck no, it doesn't. But the ethos, if you will, and I've written this, is that the masculine nature is symbolic of those things. And so what do the Alinskyite Democrats want to do? Well, they want to isolate and demonize the people that most represent capitalism. This is on a very broad, as a friend of mine says, 50,000-foot observation. Does this happen in individuals? So we're talking about broad strategy here, and it must be opposed. Use the We Aren't Victims hashtag, contact me at my website, and we'll talk about all the ways in which we can stand up against this smear campaign, not just of Judge Kavanaugh, which is a tragedy and a travesty, but of all men. Am I willing to listen to what this woman has to say? Well, if she actually comes forward, I will. But I'll tell you this, it's very, very sad to have this circus this coming Monday. Very reminiscent of Clarence Thomas. It just wasn't necessary, but the Democrats are into scorched earth policy. That's what they do. And they let us know it all along. They said that's what they were going to do. And wonder of wonders, they're doing it. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some more false accusations, some more lies being told without consequences on this eve of Yom Kippur. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. Stay with us. We'll have more after this break.
Hi, I'm Sarah, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the three branches of government.
There's a lot of confusion these days about the relationship of the three branches of government, especially among many who are in government. Some think the judiciary sits atop the other two branches, the legislative and the executive. Others think the president sits above Congress and the courts. In fact, all three branches are equally accountable to the Constitution and therefore to the people who made the Constitution. The President, members of Congress, and federal judges all take an oath to the Constitution. In making the laws, Congress must adhere to the Constitution. In executing the laws, the President must abide by the Constitution. In interpreting the laws, judges are bound by the Constitution. All the people's representatives are accountable to the Constitution, and therein lies our liberty.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. Karen Cataline with you. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. And I couldn't wait to get back to spout off about all the stuff that's been going on this week. I'll never, ever be able to get to it all because there's so much. But I say that much too much. Before I get into the declassifying of key documents, which I haven't had a chance to read yet, I want to spout off about something that seems as if it happened 3 weeks ago, but I didn't get a chance to talk about it, so I'm going to just tell you now. I was just amazed at the Serena Williams debacle, and I just keep seeing patterns in behavior. The left has brought politics into every nook and cranny of our lives. About last week, around the Serena Williams misbehavior, she basically threw a tantrum, and then the left came to her rescue and said that it was sexism. I mean, that's basically what went on, right? The Miss America pageant has been politicized. One of the candidates for the Miss America pageant, which thank God I did not watch. There's so much not to watch these days. The list of not watching is a lot longer than the list of watching. But the only thing I watch anymore is I look forward to Live PD because it's anti-Hollywood. It's a reality show that Hollywood can't mess up. I'll tell you about that some other time. If you don't know what Live PD is, I don't watch it every week, but I love it because Hollywood, it's just the... It shows that Hollywood always has an agenda, is always driving an agenda, and Live PD doesn't. It is what it is, blemishes and all. Nonetheless, in the Miss America pageant, several of the candidates, one in particular, complained of how divisive Donald Trump was. I thought that was rich. For the NFL has been politicized, and it wasn't Donald Trump that did it. It was when the ungrateful, ignorant football players, I don't care what color they are, decided to kneel for the national anthem and politicize the coming together of the country, and Donald Trump is being divisive? To the Emmys, which just happened yesterday, which was a political regurgitation of how Hollywood thinks they're better than we are. I'm glad I didn't watch, and it's the worst ratings ever. I was tickled to see that. But how sad, because I used to enjoy some of these things. I used to enjoy the Miss America pageant when I was a kid. And as you know, I wrote a book about being in child beauty pageants. So when I was very little, I loved it. So the NFL, I'm not a great fan. The Emmys, I used to love it. Can't watch that anymore. And of course, it's been politicized to even allow people to be free to dine in a restaurant. And the Democrat politicians have incited hatred and ugly behavior in their so-called grassroots activists such that anything is okay. There is no consequences. If you see a theme here, it is about the fact that there are no consequences to the left. Do they ever take responsibility for anything they do? No wonder they're secular, because they don't feel beholden or accountable to anybody. I don't care if you're beholden to your dog, but they're not accountable to anybody. So again, the theme of Yom Kippur is be grateful, be happy, be thrilled if you believe there's a God, that a God cares enough about us to hold us accountable, and that, thank God, it isn't our fellow man that we are ultimately accountable to. Because at the level of ugliness, of corruption that we see on a daily basis, that is truly frightening. So to incite hatred, to incite division, and then blame Donald Trump for being divisive, I mean, think about that one for a minute. This week, we had Donald Trump, who had been threatening, people have been dying for him to release documents in the endless, ridiculous, and completely phony Mueller investigation. And so he did so, some of, not all. So we're going to plow through some of this, I mean, in the off season, not during the show, mind you, and look at some of these texts and things that were classified before. The reason I have not followed this story chapter and verse, I followed it a lot. The story of the Mueller investigation, the story of the FISA warrant and Fusion GPS and all of these things, is because it's so darn clear what was going on. We have patterns. What I look at are patterns. There's a pattern of behavior in the previous administration that abused their power, abused the obstruction of justice in order to go after their political enemies. Richard Nixon was left office for less than that. This is the most stunning of stories in our lifetimes. And of course, the fact that the leftist media refuses to report it and to report it fairly is proof positive that it is a bombshell of a story. And so do keep watching that, because we hope we'll finally see this story break wide open and show it for what it is. The problem is we have two universes in this country, people who listen to one set of news and one set of facts. and of course, there are variations on that. This is a broad generalization, you understand. And then we have people who listen to another set of facts, and never the twain shall meet. It is amazing of what we're watching. So speaking of more stuff that's amazing to watch, this very day, September 18th, the day after Constitution Day, which, by the way, is September 17th. You can bet the left doesn't know when it is, because they don't celebrate the Constitution. They're constantly trying to usurp it. Story broke by Project Veritas, which its proprietor, James O'Keefe, has done amazing, amazing work. And this is but the first installment of an expose. I mean, James O'Keefe is really nothing more than he's amazing. He does what 60 Minutes used to do. He does investigative reporting. It's amazing what he does. I don't know how he does it. Don't you wonder? Don't you wonder how he gets some of these stories? So in the very first installment, headline, Project Veritas, and I direct you to that website, projectveritas.com, State Department on hidden camera, quote, resist everything. I have nothing to lose. A federal employee for the State Department, quote, resist everything, every level, F S up. We like to live by AM talk radio rules around here, so I'm not going to use that language, but basically screw everything up. That's what this guy admitted to on camera. Here's another bombshell for you. The Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, are embedded in federal government positions and actively resisting this president. I ain't no attorney, but how is that not sedition? These are people who took an oath to represent us, and they are actively working to resist the government and to resist a duly elected president, as is a good much of the Democrat Party that has become radicalized. But now we're getting facts. Now we're getting true evidence of the fact. Quote, I have nothing to lose. It's impossible to fire federal employees. Oh, my. You know, it just never ends. And when I get discouraged or just depressed, and I don't these days, I remember that this is all the stuff that had been going on all along. We're just getting to find out about it. And that's one of the many joys and magic. That's part of the magic of Donald Trump, something that has been unprecedented in history, to have a true private citizen, the product of the kind of free market capitalism that Republicans said they believed in, but many don't, to go to Washington with nothing to, well, with a lot to prove, but beholden to nobody. That's what makes Washington run. That's what makes it the swamp it is, because people aren't going there to serve the public. They don't even remember the public. They don't want to listen to the public, and they certainly don't want to hear from anybody, a president, who wants to represent the public. So, Project Veritas headline released the first installment in an undercover video investigation unmasking the deep state. This video features a State Department employee, and I repeat because it's so important, Stuart Carafa, engaged in radical socialist political activity on the taxpayer's dime while advocating for resistance to official government policies. Can you imagine that we have lived to see this exposed? Do you think the mainstream media, I don't even want to call them that anymore, the ABCs, NBCs, CBSs, CNNs of the world, and all the accompanying dying print media, New York Times, Washington Post, do you think they're going to report any of this? No, they're going to go after James O'Keefe for playing dirty pool. Never mind, they never went after 60 Minutes when they went after Republicans, because that's okay. The hypocrisy is endless and breathtaking. So we've got active socialists working in our government. This is what people like the disgraced Joe McCarthy was warning us against in the 50s and 60s. I was either not born or too young to understand that. But these people who were anti-communists and warning against the communist Red Scare, they were prescient in the treachery of socialists. Now, I have said for a long time, but I'm thrilled that socialists, many of them, are finally being honest about who they are and what they believe. They have become so emboldened that they don't realize that the rest of the public ain't going along with them. The problem is they will go back underground. You can bet on it. When they find out that it doesn't seem to work, they're going to go underground, because that's just what they do. They were more formidable when they lied than when they told the truth. And when they find out that they're going to have to go back to lying, everyone raise your hand out there. Who thinks they're going to go back to lying? Oh, yeah, that's what they're going to do. So I direct you to a couple of pieces that I have on my website now. And if you're going to be listening to this a lot later, you will still be able to find them in the archives, because I try to archive just about everything. I direct you to the Western Journal piece, "Is the Left Using Me Too to Overhaul State Governments and Mobilize Women?" If you'd like to get involved in the "We Aren't Victims" hashtag movement, the beautiful thing is all you have to do is start using it. All you got to do is start using that hashtag and talk about how you stand up against the flaws of the Me Too movement. That we love strong men, that strong men are not abusive, that strong men are important, and women appreciate them, especially strong women. All right. And the other one, there's always something going on my blog, and you can find all of it at either www.karencataline.com, on Facebook, Karen Cataline, or Twitter by the same name. We're going to have to end it there, but I encourage you to stay in touch. Let me know what you think of the program and what you might like to hear or see. We will have guests in the future. You just never know. But you can always chime in. And I encourage you to spout off now more than ever. Oh, yes. And one more thing. These midterms are incredibly important. We must send Donald Trump some reinforcements, not only to defeat the left, but to send him some truly conservative representatives in the House and the Senate so that he can get his agenda through. He has accomplished extraordinary things, but he needs help. And the people that brung him to the dance are you and me. I am not convinced that there are very many people in the Colorado, in the U.S. House, or the U.S. Senate, or in the government in general, that has our best interests at heart. And that's part of what we talk about here. So, with that, thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.